Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am flying solo today. We are back after a brief vacation, as you can hear off of that one cough there, and hopefully I don't cough anymore during this. I have been down with the illness, as the kids say, for the past week or two. I'm getting better now, though, so hopefully I can make it through a podcast without completely losing my voice. Listen, so much has gone down. I really can't wait to get to it all. I had really hoped that I would have a guest with me tonight, but didn't get one. So it's just me blabbering away at the mic, which is the way I like it sometimes. And I think tonight's a good night to blabber away, because I want to start a little bit as I pull up this this Google Doc with my notes on it. I want to start with the coaching hires that have gone down here recently, because I just think there's a lot that's gone on, obviously. I think we need to discuss it. Bruce Arians coming out of retirement, going back to Tampa Bay. I don't know, man. I like this move for Tampa Bay. I think that Arians is a great coach, and I truly do believe that he'll be able to turn Jameis Winston around. I love the Buccaneers' prospects going into next year, and I know that a lot of people said they were going to be good this year. I never really fell into that trap, but I think this team has enough on it, and I think that with Bruce Arians, they can be well coached enough to be a real contender in their division, at least. I think that this team next year, if Bruce Arians can get Jameis Winston to limit the turnovers, the one thing Jameis Winston is really good at is taking deep shots, and there is no more aggressive head coach in the NFL over the past few decades than Bruce Arians. And I think that Arians' ability to kind of say, hey, screw it, let's throw the ball deep, let's tear defenses apart vertically, let's not worry about short passing or anything like that, let's take some shots, no risk it, no biscuit, as he says. If you haven't read Bruce Arians' book, by the way, The Quarterback Whisperer, I've recommended it a few times on this podcast, but it's a really, really excellent piece of reading where he talks kind of more about his coaching philosophy. And I really fell in love with Arians through that book, and I'm a huge Bruce Arians fan, so I'm ecstatic to see what he'll do with Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. I think that he'll be able to fix him up. I really do. I believe that Winston has had struggles mainly because of turning the ball over, but if you take the turnovers away, Jameis Winston is a great NFL quarterback. And I think if Bruce Arians can get to him and coach him through, apparently Winston and Arians have a great relationship. That's why I think this really makes sense. It's a huge year for Tampa this next year, because if they fall flat again, I could see Arians stepping away or being fired. And then, of course, Jason Light, their GM, is definitely out if things don't come together. So this is a huge year in Tampa, but I think they started off the right way by going with Bruce Arians. Freddie Kitchens goes, gets the job in Cleveland, retains it. I love this move so much. And I love even more the staff he bringing in former head coach Steve Wilks to coach his defense. I think that's an excellent move. Every player in Arizona loved Steve Wilks. And though he got fired and the offense wasn't there, the defense was actually pretty decent this year in Arizona. And I can't wait to see what Wilks does as the coordinator in Cleveland, because they have a ton of talent on that defense with Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Jabril Peppers. They got a ton of guys there that can really tear it up, and I think that Kitchens has brought in the right guys to do that. Todd Monken is the offensive coordinator, and when he had his brief stint in Tampa Bay, the offense took off. It wasn't really till Dirk Cutter touched the offense that it really fell apart. So I love this move by the Cleveland Browns. I think they've done an excellent job establishing their coaching staff, and I think there's a ton to look forward to next season for Cleveland. I am going to fall in love. I'm going to be way too head over heels for these Browns. I know it, but I'm going to say today, right now, they make the playoffs next year. No question about it. And that's the only thing I feel confident about in the NFL, which is weird, is that the Browns are the only team I feel confident about in the NFL. Wow, that's weird to say. Another kind of weird hire, maybe, if you want to call it weird, Cliff Kingsbury to the Arizona Cardinals. Wow, this was a move that really shocked me, especially just because of the way Kingsbury's career arc has kind of worked over the past few months. I don't know how it's going to end up in Arizona, but I know that Kingsbury is a better offensive coach, I believe, than Steve Wilks was. And I believe that he can find a way to turn Josh Rosen into Josh Rosen, I believe, can be one of the best starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And I love this hire for Josh Rosen because I think Rosen's going to develop a lot behind Kingsbury. But the thing the Cardinals have to do next is they've got to go get offensive talent. I know you have David Johnson, but he hasn't looked great. I think it's time to go out. It's time to stock up, find a new number one wide receiver. Larry Fitzgerald lost a step this year. People don't want to say it, and I get he's a great guy. Nothing against Larry Fitzgerald's character, absolutely not. But he wasn't a great player this year. He lost a step. And you need to find a replacement for him to be a number one guy. And you need to go out. You need to get two or three great weapons. You need to fix the offensive line. This draft has a ton of offensive line talent in it, thankfully. So go into the draft. Fix your offensive line. Go into free agency. Pick up some wide receivers. See if you can maybe sign a third running back. See if you can maybe motivate David Johnson a little bit. But you have to surround Josh Rosen with talent. Because if there's nothing around Josh Rosen, this experiment will not work. People want to point to, oh, Sean McVay turned Jared Goff around. Oh, Matt Nagy turned Mitchell Trubisky into this wonder kid. Oh, Carson Wentz with Doug Peterson. No. What turned those guys into great guys was great coaching and the fact that Jared Goff suddenly got Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and an entirely new receiving core. And Mitchell Trubisky got Taylor Gabriel and Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. Get targets, get weapons around these guys. That's how you make your quarterback better, is by giving them the best weapons possible. And the Arizona Cardinals now really have to focus on that. Okay, my team, the Denver Broncos, Vic Fangio. Okay, John Elway screwed up the hiring process massively because he wanted Vic Fangio to come in, bring in Gary Kubiak as his OC, but Kubiak wanted to bring in some coaches of his own. Fangio didn't like that. And now Gary Kubiak, I believe he was just hired today as the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. So suddenly, you've lost one of your best scouting department guys because, honestly, if John Elway wanted Gary Kubiak to come back, he just should have offered him a head coaching job. It makes no sense to me. And if you really wanted to get better on offense, you should have hired an offensive coach. You shouldn't have gone after 60-year-old Vic Fangio, who is a defensive coordinator who has only had talent with uber-talented defense. Now, I get it. The Broncos have talent on defense, and that's great, but the struggle for this team for the past 5 years has been offense. You need to address that side of the ball, and John Elway keeps pushing it off, and he's done a terrible job again. He's the league's worst GM, and the Broncos are a total laughingstock, and that's all I got to say about it. I absolutely hate the job that John Elway's done thus far, and now he's going to go out, probably draft a quarterback way too high, pick another bust, and we're going to be right back here again next year. The guy does not know how to manage an NFL team. He doesn't. He's a terrible general manager. They need to fire John Elway. Coaching is a problem. Yes, last year, Vance Joseph was terrible at game management. But John Elway was also terrible, so starting today, we're a Fire John Elway podcast. Fire John Elway. I'll say it to his face. John Elway, please come on my podcast and let me tell you why you are past your prime, because you've never bought anything good to the Denver Broncos. You stumbled into Peyton Manning and you only managed to get one Super Bowl out of it, and that wasn't even because of Peyton Manning. Broncos are an absolute laughingstock, absolute disgrace. We're the new Browns of the NFL. Welcome to the bottom. Welcome to the bottom. It's unbelievable. I can't. People say I need to focus on talking about my team more, but I can't because my team is awful and just constantly gives me nothing but massive depression. So we will not discuss this any further. But John Elway, you're a terrible GM. It's a straight up truth. You're awful at your job and you should be fired. Unbelievable. Disgusting. Disgusting what he's done to this franchise. Disgusting. Matt LaFleur, the Packers. I'm not sure if this is going to work out. I won't lie to you. The Tennessee Titans offense is not what I would call a juggernaut. But, I mean, he did have a quarterback who can't throw the ball. I mean, maybe he'll look better with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sold on LaFleur. I don't think he's going to be bad. But, I don't know. A guy I do think is going to be bad and who I had held judgment for. And I know this is stupid to say, but based on his opening press conference, Adam Gase isn't going to last with the Jets. I'm sorry. I get it. And all the weird eye stuff that he had going on aside, I didn't think he was that great in Miami. I know that you could say Tannehill, but he never was able to get a defense to work. He was never able to really build a team. Excuse me, as I die. See, that's why we weren't podcasting last week, because I'm dying. But just Adam Gase, I don't think he's going to work. And I don't know. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's cut out to coach in the New York media market. Maybe if you get some great pieces around Sam Darnold, he'll work out, obviously. If you can somehow finagle Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, that'd be awesome for this team. But I don't think coaching is going to win them any games. And I frankly don't believe in Adam Gase. And I'd love for him to prove me wrong, but I don't really believe in him. As far as other coaching jobs go, the Bengals sound like Zach Taylor's the guy, and the Dolphins sound like Brian Flores is the guy. And man, whatever Brian Flores did against the Chargers, it worked absolutely brilliantly. And let's just get to it. Let's get to the games from this weekend. The Chargers. Oh my god. Ugh. Okay. Here it is. Officially. On the day of January 16th, 2019, at 8:13 p.m., the Chargers died. Moment of silence. All right. That was good. It was needed. Listen, I've loved this Chargers team with a passion for the past 3 years. It's over. The run's over. Phillip Rivers is old. And though his stats may say Hall of Fame, he was never able to get it done in the greatest moments. I'm going to hold that against him a little bit. I wish he could have done better. The Chargers defense completely disappeared. The Chargers coaching staff just got out-coached. Anthony Lynn, I thought, did a much better job this year than he did his first year, but he clearly wasn't ready for Belichick. Now this team's getting older. I don't know. I think this is the end of the road for the Chargers for a little bit here. I think they sink back to being, you know, a 7-9 win team every year. It sucks, and I loved rooting for this team, but I'm done. It's the end of a heartbreaking era that really never prospered into anything. On the other side, the Patriots, for the record, Tom Brady, I never said you sucked, and I always stood by the Patriots on this podcast. I never once doubted them, because I didn't buy into the Patriots are dying thing. Because whenever you do that, you're sure to look like a fool. They're not dead, and Tom Brady looked great. And I get it. You can credit the game plan all you want, but he made all the throws he was asked to make. He looked like a quarterback in his prime. He is currently playing like a top five NFL quarterback. He is playing his best football when it matters the most. They have a running game in New England. Sony Michel tore up the Chargers defense and was running through wide open holes. This New England offensive line, credit to New England, this was one of their biggest weaknesses. They have not looked like a weakness much this year. They've been an awesome strength on the ground, especially when running the ball. You have James White out here getting 15 targets, and they're doing this all without Gronk. And let me just say, Julian Edelman is truly one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and he doesn't get appreciated enough. He is an absolute stud of a wide receiver. He's a top 10 NFL wide receiver, and he gets it done when it matters in the playoffs. And he had another great game against the Chargers. Man, I can't wait to see what the Patriots do in the AFC Championship game, which is honestly, the champion divisional weekend was a bust. All these games were terrible blowouts, but it's set up two pretty damn great conference championships. On the other side, you have the Kansas City Chiefs, who just outplayed the Colts. The Colts didn't show up. I kind of blame it on the weather. The Colts are an indoor team, and they looked like they ran into the outdoors. But also, what was up with Andrew Luck's throwing motion? He got the ball batted like five times. He looked absolutely putrid. The Colts made me look really bad, because I truly did believe this was a team that could do a lot. But I underestimated this new-look Chiefs. And let's just get into it, because I'm having a hard time picking the AFC Conference Championship game, and you should too. The Chiefs, on one hand, have a fantastic offense that is playing at the height of its powers, as it has been all year. They have found an absolute gem in Damian Williams running the ball. And while people may want to crap on their defense, they shut down the Colts wide receivers. Now, granted, the Colts don't have anyone at wide receiver, but they shut down the Colts wide receiver in their secondary, and their pass rush dominated, was unblocked at points against a very good Colts offensive line. You know, I just think that this Chiefs team isn't being given as much of a shot as they should on the defensive side. I think this defensive line can get to Tom Brady. I don't know if the secondary can hold up against what Tom Brady's throwing, though. And the Patriots' secondary is so good. I think they might have an answer for Andy Reid. I really do. I do believe that. I do believe that the Patriots have an answer. And that's why I'm picking the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots. I believe that Tom Brady has still got it in him. This is going to come back to haunt me, but I just think you can't count out the Patriots, and I think that Tom Brady and Julian Edelman are going to have a massive day against this Chiefs secondary. And I don't care if it's cold. Tom Brady knows how to play in the cold. Don't tell me that the cold's going to affect Tom Brady. Like, come on. Find a new slant, you know? All right. NFC. Oh, the Eagles' magic comes to an end. Oh, man, I felt so bad because I really wanted to see how this game would have ended if it didn't go through Alshon Jeffrey's hands, and I feel really bad for Alshon Jeffrey's. But this it is the way it goes sometimes. But the Saints, after that abysmal first quarter, just ran away with this game, and the Saints are the best team in the playoffs right now. Like, on both sides of the Saints' defense is so good. It is so good. And I really do think they are going to have an answer for the Rams, who absolutely ran over the Cowboys. So, I want to take a look at this game. Saints-Rams. Quarterback, who do I trust more? Drew Brees, obviously. Now, people are crapping on Jared Goff. They shouldn't be. He looked good in that game against Dallas. They did what they asked him to do. Even if he looked like a game manager, he didn't turn the ball over, and he did what the offense needed him to do. As far as offensive lines go, I trust this Rams line because I'm convinced anyone can run behind this line. CJ Anderson tore up the Cowboys linebackers, and it was because of guys like Andrew Whitworth just massively shifting the line of scrimmage for the Rams. I love the Rams running game, and I give the Rams running game an advantage over the Saints running game. Taking a look at pass rush, gotta go for Rams, got Aaron Donald. Ndamukong Suh did not get enough credit. He looked great in that game against the Saints. And I don't know whose secondary I trust, but I do. The Saints have a lockdown secondary, and I love it. All right, short episode today, short and sweet. I was thrown off by the fact that my guest no-showed. Sad days, violence for me, but it's okay for you guys. I'm glad I got a show out. I'm happy to be doing this. I have had a lot of busyness with school and stuff like that. Apologies if this is on a little bit of a short side and if it's not super deep per usual. It's harder to do with just two games. I'm taking the Rams, by the way. I think it's Rams-Patriots for the Super Bowl. Listen, guys, thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week. Next week, we will have a show. And then Super Bowl week, we're going to go three shows. And then we'll take a short break, two-week break after the Super Bowl. And then we'll come back. We'll start talking about the combine, the draft, NFL free agency. It's going to be a ton of fun. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.